Welcome back to Made in Indie Land. Back to episode 41 now. I'm really losing track because this is the first one in 2 weeks after a few in a row. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. I feel a bit tired. I had a really good night's sleep last night as well. You get the more sleep I have, the more tired I am in the mornings, I think.
You oversleep, I think, because your body conditions itself. Our mate Giles, right, he's a soldier and has been for a long time. And he said for years, you only need 4 hours sleep a night. And I get what he's saying. I think technically your body can be conditioned to have 4 hours sleep a night. I don't believe that. But I don't get much sleep. I reckon I get about 6 or 7. And if I sleep for longer, I'm more tired.
I think I'm better if I get an odd number of hours sleep.
What, like 7.5?
No, just 7.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's just the way I am. I can easily get by on 4 and 5 hours.
Yeah,
and be fine all day, like not be tired all day. But when I get like, it's when I get 8 hours, like I did last night. I feel knackered this morning.
I think if you wake up and then go back to sleep, that's the worst. That's the worst because you feel like you've really overslept then. If I wake up, I can't sleep in. I did it this morning. I could have had a little bit of a lay-in. I was awake at 6:30, could have had a little bit of a lay-in. And I decided I'm awake, so I'm going to get up. And I just can't. Yeah. It's just one of those things. So my smallest one's been ill all week as well. God knows what he's got. It's been going on for about 5 days. So that's been tiring, dealing with him, throwing up and stuff. Oh. It's horrid. It's that thing as well. I think a lot of people will relate to this, that when you got a kid that's ill and both parents work, it's who takes the day off work. Mm-mm. Because obviously, not for pay particularly, because we're both employed rather than self-employed or anything, but it's more about just like, she's a teacher, I'm a careers advisor, both got schedules and diaries. It's a pain, just have to rearrange, and I've got a feeling it's my turn tomorrow. You can only rely on like grandparents so much, I think.
So
that's been tiring. So, yeah, I need to make an apology actually about the last episode. We'll talk about the last episode in a minute, but you may have noticed on the last episode, I said that Charlotte Church won the Masked Singer, and she didn't. It was Natalie Imbruglia. I don't know what I was thinking. I only watched it, 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, maybe. I only watched it like 10 hours before we recorded that as well.
I've still not seen it, I don't think.
It wasn't the best. It wasn't the best series. I think it was because we was in a whirlwind of Welsh singers and all that. We were just talking about Welsh singers. So I got overexcited and said she won it, and she didn't. She wasn't good enough. Anyway, let's talk about that. Anyway, so the past two episodes, this is the first episode in since January that we've not had a guest.
Yeah, I think so.
It must be. It's been a run of about 5 or 6 in a row, isn't it? If you include him,
it's
as
been
well.
Loads of them.
So, it's been a bit crazy. It's a bit weird because we don't really know how to play. Because when you've got a guest on, you do have to plan, but you don't have to plan as much. That's fair to say, isn't it? Like you have to have a basic structure, maybe questions that you might ask, go-to questions if, you know, you need to get someone talking or something like that.
Yeah, what happens is we usually have a basic structure and then the guest just...
Yeah.
We don't stick to it because the guest talks so much that we don't have to do, like Roetta, for instance. We couldn't get a word in.
That was brilliant. She was an amazing guest. We had some really good feedback about her, haven't we? I mean, she was just... she's a fucking legend, isn't she? I saw her on... I don't know if anyone watched... I just flicked it over after I finished Killing Eve last night. But it was like Top of the Pops in the 90s. And it showed, there was a Happy Bundy's clip. And she just dancing around because they don't sing, do they, on there? So she's just dancing around her and Bez. But, yeah. Yeah, that was an amazing episode that we did with her.
And that must be like, some life she's had, really. But like, I could have spoken to her for hours. Like, there's only so much she can say that she wants out there in the public. So imagine being in a pub with her and chatting about like what went on behind the scenes and things. And some of her stories must be amazing. The ones that you hear are amazing, but the ones that, imagine the ones that you don't hear about.
Do you know what though? Like we spent a little bit of time. We always have a quick chat before just to make sure they're happy. And I always ask, you know, is there anything you don't want us to ask, you don't want us to talk about, or anything like that? She's like, you can ask anything. It's up to me whether I answer it. Fair enough. But she was very, very open and honest, wasn't she? I mean, I actually learned quite a bit about like how musicians were affected in the pandemic and stuff like that as well. You think like someone like Rowetta, you'd think she'd be not have to worry about anything like that, wouldn't you? You know, she's a bloody legend. I mean, she must have done financially well and stuff like that from all her songs that she'd been involved in. But she was saying obviously that it was difficult, and you know,
and she was finding it difficult. Imagine our artists on the up were finding it. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It was a real eye opener. Don't get me wrong. I think it's been well publicised that artists have struggled. And do you know what? There's been a lot of bad criticism as well. You see a lot of social media and in the press, actually, about, why are these musicians moaning and all that? They've got loads of money. But actually, the truth is they haven't. They haven't anymore, because it's not like, unless you're a top, top rock star, like a Beatle or Stone or something like that, or like, you know, Liam Gallagher, the Coldplay and all that lot, you're not guaranteed anything. You're really not. So I thought she was really, really, really insightful there. She was just so down to earth, wasn't she? Really down to earth.
She was.
So it was an easy interview for us, wasn't it? Because we just didn't say anything. She just chatted. So that was that. And then we had Megan Wynn, which went out last week. Where are we? Yeah, last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
25th of... I'm so confused. I've been so busy. Absolutely, just all over the show right lately. So yeah, she was good as well, wouldn't she? That was weird because we recorded that one before we recorded the Rowetta one.
Yeah, Megan went out the 25th of February.
Yeah, yeah. So we didn't talk about the Rowetta one last week because we hadn't recorded it yet.
Yeah.
But I can't believe she's 17 years old. That girl, she is wise beyond her years, isn't she? Just so like humble and down to earth, you know. I don't know what I'd be like if I was her age and I was actually gigging for a living and all that sort of stuff.
Probably
I'd be all over the show. I wouldn't be still gigging by the age of 18, that's for sure.
I could barely tie my own shoelaces at 17, let alone go gigging and have a level head. Jesus.
Well, you think about it, like, actually when what were we were both in part-time jobs, weren't we? I think I was a student, and I was never there. I was never at college. I was just in a pub most of the time, and we was just out all the time, weren't we? Pretty much every night of the week, we was out drinking,
just wasting our lives.
Yeah,
but then we didn't have any talent, I suppose, to waste.
That's the thing, I suppose. Yeah, you've got to have a That's the thing, I suppose. If you've got something like that,
I mean, if you'd carried on with a guitar a bit more, focused on it a bit more, maybe.
Well, I was one in a long line of lots of people. Like, I was just always doing it as a hobby. My trouble is I studied it. I studied it as well, which made it not really a hobby. But she studies it, and she's very, very good.
She's very good, isn't she?
And she can sing, you know, that's the thing. So she's completely
great focused. Personality as well. Really, really nice.
Yeah, just got like a bit of wit about her. She's obviously intelligent. Really good support from her family and all that. I can just see it. You just see certain people, you speak to certain people that are on the up, and I honestly wouldn't be surprised if in 2 or 3 years' time she's a famous household name.
Yeah.
I just, you know, she's obviously.
I'd be more surprised if she wasn't, I think.
Yeah, I think I would as well. Yeah. I mean, if you look, the people she's in with and, you know, supporting and all that sort of stuff, it's unreal. So absolutely unreal. So I really hope it works out for her. And I really hope she'll come back on when that happens. she was really good. Really good. Right. Shall we get a song on? What's the first song we're doing today?
Just before, I've just noticed. Where are we? We're recording on Sunday the 6th of March. It's Mowry's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to say happy birthday, fella.
Happy birthday, mate. He's a bit of an Instagram legend, really, isn't it? Loads of people know him.
Yeah.
He's a... Do you know what? He's, to be fair, we'll dedicate this episode to the Maori because he has supported us. He's probably listened to every single episode. Let's be fair. He's been there right
from the beginning.
I don't know how he found us, or did we might have found him. I don't know. But he's been a great supporter of us. So, happy birthday, mate. So, I'm sure he'll be pleased with that. He always promotes for us, doesn't he? Says
probably won't listen to this episode.
He'll probably be down the pub celebrating his birthday. Yeah. With a cake as well.
He's a man that always delivers.
Yeah. For those who do know him, they may get the joke. He'll really like that joke as well. So, yeah. and he's a gooner, actually. He'll be watching the game today. So let's hope we win. We'll come back and talk about Arsenal in a bit. So, all right, cool. Let's get some musical. What we got today?
We've got The Publix, and they're sent through by Beckett Moon Man Official.
Excellent.
And they're really good. You should listen to them. They're from Nottingham, indie rockers. They've been supporting the Raytons, and they supported them Rats, and they've got some headline shows to play coming up in Newcastle, Nottingham, and I really like this tune. Really good tune.
Yeah, it's called Marathon in Heels. Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Marathon in Heels.
We've got something right today. Excellent. Here is The Publix with Marathon in Heels.
We'll be right back.
Brilliant. Thank you. I really like that track, actually. It's it's got really like a Cortinas feel about it, hasn't it, that one?
Yeah, I think it has.
Just like there's a bit of bounce about it, I think.
Mm.
So we'll be keeping a watchful eye on them.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's good.
Anyway, it was Pancake Day this week. So following Pancake Day, did you have any pancakes, by the way?
Yeah. Three.
How many do you have? Bloody hell.
Three of them, yeah. I had... go on.
Do you have... I think I had two. I don't know why I'm criticising, because I think I had two big ones as well. Do you have a savoury one and a sweet one? We used to do that. But really? Like have a cheese one, I'll say, for like the main bit, and then a sweet one for pudding, but it's just far too complicated. So we ended up... I've got a real problem with having pudding for dinner. That's basically what it is.
So we didn't have any dinner. I had like a really small dinner.
Yeah.
I had a wrap, I think.
That's a pancake. Like a
small wrap, yeah. I was trying to keep him with a frame. Yeah. And then I had three pancakes. First one was traditional, lemon and sugar.
Yeah, I didn't have one of them actually this year.
Second was... was it just a bit of ice cream in the middle of it?
Yeah.
And third was melted white chocolate on it.
Blimey. I just said...
I've got a 10-year-old, so we you know, they want to do it all.
Well,
that's... At that age, I
think. Well, you don't.
That's my excuse. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, I've been trying to lose weight as well. It's been horrendous.
I would say, and then something like that turns up. Yeah, of course. There's always curveballs, isn't there? Yeah. I just had the... we had like chocolate honey. I don't know what it is. It's got... it's one of the brand names. I think it's like a chocolate honey thing. I don't know.
All right.
It's a bit weird. But I didn't really go too big on it this year, but I did have two of them. But yeah, I did miss. I like having a crepe or a crepe, as some people call it. but sometimes I used to have that before, like, so I had a bit of a dinner, so it felt like I was actually having a bit of a dinner. And have a smaller, but just it got too complicated, if I'm honest. So, anyway, following that is Lent. So up until from the day after, up until Easter, I think, isn't it? I'm religious or anything like that, but it's just I always try and give something up. Have you given up anything?
No, not at all. I've given up food.
Peanut butter sandwiches for me.
Have you?
I just love them. So,
why would you give up something you love though? That's what I don't get.
Well, that's the whole point of it. It's about resolve, isn't it? And not, and actually, it's normally said it's bad for you. Every year I give up fizzy drinks as well. So I've done that as well. Because I think I think that has a massive impact on every time I've done that, I lose weight and I feel better.
They're no good for you.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not one for energy drinks at all. I've never been one for energy drinks, but they are fucking dangerous. But even just like a bottle of Coke or a can of Coke or something, it's horrible, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I can only drink like the diet or the zero stuff. Now, if I have a proper can of Coke, it's far too sweet for me.
I've just realised yesterday I had an away day strategy meeting for my charity and I had a can of Diet Coke. I didn't even think.
Well, then you've ruined it.
I have, but that was only a secondary one. That was only a secondary one. I've definitely not had a peanut butter sandwich since whatever it was.
Do you fancy one?
Do you know what? It's a bit like when I go out smoking. I've got past the first 3 days now and it's fine. I miss them a little bit, but... Has to be a white bread as well.
Yeah.
Pete, you get lunatics that have it on brown bread. I think that's very odd.
I'm going to sound really fucking stupid now, but there's this bread in Waitrose. And I think it's from the Black Sheep Company. It's by no means an ad or whatever. It's bloody lovely. It's like a tiger loaf. You should try it.
Do you know what? I've got off tiger loaves. I used to love them, and I just think they're a bit sweet.
So nice.
I'll give it a go.
Yeah. I'll post one for your letterbox in the week.
Yeah. in a baguette form, hopefully.
Individually, just one at a time, go through.
Yeah. I do bloody love bread. It's probably my favourite food when you think about it.
I don't see how you do lunch without it. It's
hard. I used to have, like, do you know what? What was terrible? I mean, when I worked in London, right, and you just have no time for anything when you work in London. So I didn't really have time because you're knackered. So I didn't really have time to make a proper sandwich or anything like that, or put anything together. Just fucking super noodles. Pretty much it. Like, I remember for about 3 months just always eating super noodles. They're just horrible. Absolutely horrible. They're the worst things you could ever eat. But yeah, you get these people that... So, do you know what? Every now and again, actually, I'll have, like, where I work at home, it's a bit easier. Where I work at home sometimes, I don't always work at home. But you can have, like, a soup or something like that. But you end up having something like bread with it, don't you? That's the thing.
Just dipping half a loaf of bread in the soup.
Yeah, it's the worst. Sometimes I get those sandwich thins, you know, the wholemeal ones. They're a bit better for you. But then that's what you put in it.
Bacon.
Bacon, egg, sausage, something like that. But it's difficult. If you could cut out bread for a while, but then your life would be a misery.
Yeah.
It's a fine line, isn't it?
I often skip lunch when I'm
I do quite often.
Yeah.
Just run out of time quite a bit. But that's not good because you've got to keep your metabolism going, haven't you?
Yeah, well, like, just have a banana or something and hope for the best.
If you're going to manage to skip a meal, it should be the last one of the day, shouldn't it? You're better having a bigger, like, filling yourself up in the day and then not eating at night time.
Yeah, in fact, fasting, I'd probably say lunch to your breakfast, maybe.
I'd probably skip dinner actually more than anything because there's always football training and stuff. The key thing is when you've not had dinner or whatever, is not just saying, oh, fuck it, let's just go to McDonald's or something. That's the key thing, is because that's the killer, and it costs a fortune.
Yeah, the convenience of it is too easy. Oh, I had that Friday.
It's so good, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's so good. It's a little bit more expensive, but
I wish the Maori happy birthday. But it's my dad's birthday tomorrow, and we went round there Friday.
Oh, nice!
At the Espendos, and we got the. It's like 55 quid or something for that 5-person platter.
Oh, yeah. So we just get the 2-3-person one.
Yeah, we was thinking about getting that because it probably would have been enough, but
yeah,
it was just a bit conscious of it not being enough. So we got the bigger one. My God, there was so much.
Just for our listeners, it's a Turkish cuisine. We've spoken about it before. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's lovely. We should try and get them to sponsor us so we could just go there and eat.
Just have their kebab. Do you know what? I've never had a kebab from there. It's always been like the platter. That I get really because it's really quite good value for money, to be honest.
You know, in the smaller one, the ribs are a little bit small. They're quite smaller ribs.
Yeah.
In the big one, they're huge.
Yeah, that's too much, isn't it? I don't think they give you. Do you know what the worst thing is? I always get sautéed potatoes. They're the worst thing you can get because they're so filling.
Yeah.
So we I don't leave it those.
But yeah, we didn't get them this time because there was loads there.
It's probably, aside from Italian, like Turkish, Anatolian, that sort of region of food is probably my favourite food.
Mediterranean is really nice.
Yeah, it's, I bloody love it. Do you know, it's not that, of all, if you get it, because it's not really a takeaway, is it? It's a restaurant that delivers. It's not that bad for you. Because you don't have to get, well, compared to, like, if you've got a kebab from a kebab shop,
yeah,
it's covered in grease. Because a lot of it's just meat.
You're not talking dollar kebabs, are you?
No, and you're not having chips and stuff like that.
It's all grilled, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty much,
and there's lots of healthy options.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like, it's pretty, I mean, we don't eat half the rice anyway. I never eat rice, really.
But no, I like that rice is nice.
They have got couscous, don't they, in there as well?
Yeah, that's it.
It's good, this. We're just talking about food.
Yeah, it's good. Nobody's going to know what we're on about.
This is like a review, but it's definitely not a sponsored ad, just to let you know. So, comply with podcasting rules. Let's move on, because I'm getting hungry, and it's only like 9:30 in the morning.
I've not had breakfast yet.
I actually have had a croissant for breakfast, so I've got to go to football after this. So what I did want to talk about actually is the Glastonbury lineup. So that was announced the other day. So for those that haven't been or haven't tried to go to Glastonbury, the thing with Glastonbury is there's very different about from them to other festivals. It's fucking excellent. That's the big, it's the best festival. But you buy your ticket in like October or something. I can't remember when it is. And even like the second round of tickets for the like returns and stuff were only recently. And then you find up the line, find out the lineup afterwards. So it's a huge gamble. Yeah. I've only ever been once and I was so lucky because it was Oasis, Paul McCartney and Muse headlining when I was there. So it was just like, and there was like Morrissey was there. Kings of Leon, there was so many. It was, I think it was the best one for a while, that one.
I suppose that was completely random as well, because when you went, there weren't really a social media presence or anything. So
no, you had no clue. You actually had no clue. And if you think...
You get rumours, don't you, now in this day and age, you get rumours of who's going to perform. So
There was rumours at the time of Oasis. There was a rumour, but not when we got the tickets. I think we got the tickets back then in like February time, something like that. And then the announcement was made in the April. So it was, but if you think it was a bit random because Oasis weren't doing anything at the time. That was 2004. So they hadn't released an album for 2 years. They weren't releasing their next album till 2005. So this was a gig out of nowhere. They didn't tour, nothing. So it was a bit random that they did it. It was like a bit of a comeback. But everyone's seen that gig and I thought it was good being there. It was brilliant. And Liam's iconic white parka and all that, but it wasn't one of their best gigs. Anyway, we're not talking about that anyway. We're talking about this year's. So I was just explaining that if you're not aware that it's a gamble. So this, when the announcements are coming out, you're thinking it's best be fucking worth it because it's a lot of money and it's like 200 odd quid these days and probably more actually. I don't know. And it's difficult to arrange and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, so what do you think of the lineup?
Well, I'm just looking through it because I hadn't seen it. So I'm just looking through it. I think it's set up for a younger crowd straight away, I think. But that might just be me getting old. Billie Eilish, people absolutely love her.
Yeah. Do you know what? I don't mind her. I think fair play to her. She's done incredibly well. I mean, how old is she? She's not even 20 yet, is she?
No, I think she's like, she might be bordering on 20.
Yeah, so I think
Mia loves her stuff.
Yeah, Charlie likes her and all that. You know, it's she's quite good. The one thing I will say about her though is right. We just spoke about this briefly earlier. There was just there's this fucking weird program called Starstruck. Listeners might have seen it, but anyway, long story short, it's a bit like Stars in Their Eyes, where they have to become this person, and they do it in teams. And there was three. It's in teams of three, and it's team of three. Became Billie Eilish, and what I would say is that it was incredible. They were unbelievably like her. So what does that say about her? She's not as unique as she's portrayed in my mind, because she's very easy to, as it looks like she's very easy to become, basically. But I don't know. I still think she's good.
But I don't think like Stars in Their Eyes.
It's basically like Stars in Their Eyes,
but it's three of them.
But it's three of them, and then if they win, so there's four teams. So last night it was Elton John. There was a team of three Elton Johns, which was fucking hilarious. Billie Eilish, I always call her Billie Irish. Kylie and John Legend. I don't really care for John Legend, to be honest. We've seen him once, haven't we, at Wimbledon? And basically, if they win, then one gets picked out to go to a final, which will be in a few weeks, I guess. I don't know. I don't really watch it, but I watched it last night. But yeah, it's a bit of a weird program. But anyway, going back to her, a Bond song was fucking brilliant, by the way. I really like a Bond song. But is she a headliner of Glastonbury level yet? I think she will be. But that's a big gig for her.
I think she probably is.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think
if you're thinking about a younger crowd, yeah.
Take a guess of her followers on Instagram, how many she's got.
I don't know. 5 million.
5 million.
Yeah.
101 million.
Jesus Christ.
That's so big, isn't it? She's big. Her last photo, she got 9 million likes on it. Just a couple behind us.
I was going for a seat. She's amateur.
No, she's
not
she's
in our level yet.
She's massive at the moment.
She's big. She is big. And the thing about Glastonbury is it has to cater for everyone. That's the unique thing about Glastonbury. I know other festivals say they do. If you look at Victorious, right, it was all kids, wasn't it? It was a real family festival. But the music was for us. So that didn't contradict in itself, right? Fucking hell. Some of the bands that we saw, I mean, to be fair, actually, you know, Rag and Bone Man Blossoms, they're pretty contemporary, actually. But it was mainly for people like us. Whereas,
I think Glastonbury changed, didn't it? It was as soon that year, Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, 2008, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it just changed the whole landscape of it because it was always our sort of music or like folk music and stuff like that, wasn't it, going on?
Yeah.
You'd get the odds like, I don't know, it was like Nile Rodgers done it or something. I think
he's done it the year I was there, actually. He's one of those ones that turns up everywhere.
Sort of legends, you get the legends there, don't you? Yeah.
There's there's always a legend start on a Sunday, and then there's always like I saw Sister Sledge and people like that that have, you know, been around for years. So they've always had that. But in terms of the headliners, they were always meant to be guitar music. It had to be.
So it changed the landscape of it that year, I think. And then it's from then on, it you've had Kanye West.
Yeah.
I think.
Who got panned, didn't he?
Yeah.
I never even watched that performance, but I just saw the out sort of backlash from it. But Kanye's a controversial character. I think everyone with Jay-Z, that was a safe bet. If you're going to take it in that direction, Jay-Z's a safe bet, isn't he? Because I think everyone likes him.
Yeah. Where Kanye's a bit Marmite, isn't he?
Yeah. A lot
really good couple of first out. Like, first two albums are really good, I think.
But that Donda, he's doing a second one, but that Donda's gone down really well amongst his fans.
Mm.
But, so, I don't know. But I think the guy's a bit of a dickhead, if I'm honest.
Yeah. You just need take away that and just focus on the music. And his music was good. And then it weren't so good, I think. And then I think he went a little bit mad, didn't he?
Personal life's a bit crazy as well, isn't it? So
anyway, back to this year. So was it Billie Eilish, Paul McCartney, and Kendrick Lamar? Do you know much about Kendrick Lamar?
I know nothing about Kendrick Lamar, but he's well respected, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's very well. My gripe with this, right, is I think you have one or the other as a headliner. You have one of them next year or one this year, but it's two. You've got two legends, but where's like the? It's losing its identity a bit, I think. Where's the? They could get anyone in. They could get Liam Gallagher could headline it. I mean, he's fucking doing Ed Nebworth and stuff, so he's probably got maybe it's a scheduling thing. But do you know what I mean? Like there needs to be someone who's an indie legend or Britpop, someone like that. I think there's no one in the headliners, is there? And that's what I mean. Cortina's could potentially command that these days, maybe. I don't know.
I wonder if they are. They've obviously done their research, and are they turning their heads now to a younger? Well, obviously turning their heads to a younger generation.
I was talking to someone yesterday, right? About just quickly back to a charity day. We were always talking about what acts we're going to put on when we do gigs and stuff, and someone said, oh, right, you used the Searchers a few times, didn't you? And you made loads of money with them. But I said, well, the Searchers were fucking, in their day, they were huge. You had the Beatles, the Stones and the Kinks, and then you had the Searchers. So they were massive, but in the 60s. But now they're too old, right? So the yesterday's music, for our parents, if you like, or us probably, is 80s and 90s now, isn't it? So. Yeah.
But it's funny you should say that, because I was talking to a DJ a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, no one's interested in the 60s stuff now. So started the 70s sometimes, because that generation have gone or don't come to parties.
Yeah, they don't gig anymore because they're in their 80s. Most of the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And, but they don't tend to. Yeah.
That's why, do you know what? If you are going to this Glastonbury this year, you're so lucky because Paul McCartney's there and he won't ever do it again. Because he's coming out 80, isn't he? I think he's 79 or something like that. I don't know. Well, he played the Olympics and stuff, didn't he? And his voice has gone a bit now. I mean, he's an old man, isn't he? But to say
that you've seen him, though, is it?
I mean, I'll never, ever forget the gig I saw of his at Glastonbury. Yeah. And I can't believe that was bloody nearly 20 years ago now. Madness. He was it's just something else. Like he was in the Beatles. He was the Beatles, wasn't he? There's no argument there. He's just incredible. And it'll probably be one of the last gigs he ever does. I think he's earned his retirement now. He doesn't do much anymore, does he? So, but yeah, Kendrick Lamar, I don't know. It's just probably because I don't know much about him. How old is he? Is he like our age or is he younger?
I'm not sure. He done the Super Bowl, didn't he?
With Dr. Dre. Look, was Dre there? Yeah, he was.
Dr. Dre,
Eminem, 50 Cent, all that.
Snoop Dogg, yeah.
Snoop Dogg. I've never liked Snoop Dogg. I don't.
That really brought back like 1999-2000 memories.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2001 sort of.
They just memory. dominated the music scene, didn't they?
Yeah.
You either liked guitar music or you like hip hop. It's when Eminem came through. Everyone says that Dre and NWA and all that were the pioneers, but Eminem put music on the map, didn't he? Really? I know they were there, they set the foundations, but Eminem brought it out to the masses. It was still quite a niche genre, hip hop and rap and all that. And
then I think he almost made it acceptable for white people to like.
Yeah. Rap. He did, definitely. Because I don't know. It was about culture and stuff like that, and he made it popular, didn't he, really? And it's and I'm grateful because I've always loved it, you know?
It was another
scene of music for me, really. I can't comment on Kendrick Lamar. I've heard he's well respected. I don't know much about him. But I just feel that there should be a guitar band in there.
Yeah, from our point of view, we probably need to expand our horizons a little bit. But you like what you like, don't you, music-wise? Yeah. And looking through, we only liked, like, there's the Blossoms.
Yeah, we'd still have a good time if we were there, wouldn't we?
Elbow.
Foles
Jesus
are there,
and the Mary Chain are there. Yeah, I think the Foles are there. Noel Gallagher's there.
Yeah, we're going to see him. Rufus Wainwright, don't mind. Supergrass. The
Waterboys, Sam Fender, we'd go and see, probably.
I saw that. Because it's done in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
He's got to be up there. He's going to be high on the... got to be on the pyramid
Skunk
stage, isn't he?
We'd go to.
Yeah. They played the last gig of the last set of the 90s at Glastonbury.
Yeah.
So that's quite... They're always sort of Primal Scream there as well. They're always sort of got a warm place at Glastonbury. It was weird because it was like they were symbolically closing the 90s completely with music, weren't they, to sign off at Glastonbury. We were just saying earlier, Jesus, so Primal Scream there, Jesus and the Mary Chain are there. I don't know whether Gillespie is involved or will be involved. It looks like he still is, but that'd be a bit strange. Robert Plant and Alison Krauss, they've been like a duo for a while now. Pet Shop Boys would be good.
Yeah,
I think they'd be really good. Actually, I don't know where they'll play. I've got a feeling that Sam Fender might headline the other stage, which I think's a bit crap because there's always a clash. Then, so but you don't know. They won't announce a stage split until nearer the time. Inhaler are there. Jarvis. He'll be on some weird stage somewhere. Guarantee it.
Yeah, he will.
Fountains DC. So there, I don't know. Oh, yeah, they're really good. I don't know much about them. Seen a few of them. Hey, Confidence Man. That's a band, I think. They're supporting Noel Gallagher on his tour, actually. So we'll see them at some point. Or him. Met them. Don't know. Avalanches. Remember them? So... Incidentally, saying about Pet Shop Boys, Did you see that Human League are playing Rochester Castle?
No, didn't see that.
I'm tempted to go and watch them. I reckon that'd be quite good. And James Blunt. But I don't know. We've got a lot on. But yeah, so I don't know. So what's the verdict on this lineup? If you bought tickets to this lineup, what would you, how would you feel right now?
Personally, I'd feel, I think I'd be happy, but not as happy as I was expecting to be, if that makes sense.
It's like, the first I'd be back after 3 years or 2 years, 3 years off, 2 years, it'll be 3 years.
Yeah. Thomas.
I expected more. If I'm honest, there's better lineups at other festivals this year, and that can't happen with Glastonbury. Because I've always thought with Glastonbury, you're guaranteed to an exceptional lineup. But I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. But for the younger generation, maybe it just, it's a reminder that we're knocking on a bit. I don't know.
Yeah, Diana Ross would be good to say.
She'll be playing on a Sunday afternoon, I'm sure.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, yeah. But there's nothing that grabs me there. Really. There's nothing that really grabs me. Right, if you, right, thinking about the, you, we'd go, say, apart from Paul McCartney, we'd go on the, so I'm guessing it's a Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. We'd go on a Saturday and the Friday and the Sunday night to see Billie Eilish and Kendrick Lamar and not know really any of the songs or anything like that. That's a reminder of how old we are.
Yeah, exactly.
The headliners at Glastonbury, we ain't got a fucking clue about, really. I know about three of Billie Eilish's songs and I know nothing about Kendrick Lamar.
See, our parents probably had this in the 90s when there was headliners at Glastonbury and I was like, who the hell was that?
Do you know, that's why, that's a fair point, because that's what we were used to, because the 90s were so big and those bands got so big so quick because of the Britpop movement. They just went straight to headlining, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oasis did 94, then 95, right? Bang, right? Radiohead were the same. They headlined like three times in that time, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, you know, so it, Pulp as well, all that. Everything happened so quickly in the 90s, and that's what we were used to, I suppose. Our sort of music being the biggest music in the world.
Mm.
Anyway, no, I just thought...
Now it's not.
No, it's not. I know Liam Gallagher's still one of the biggest artists around, but apart from that, it's not. We have to go to smaller festivals now to get our fix. But this is what happens. Like, I remember my dad, God, the amount of gigs he took me to, he said, back in my day, this lot would have been filling a stadium. And they're like filling like a 1,000-seater theatre or something there. So it's what happens. Anyway, we got a question.
Yep. It was, bear with. I'm on the wrong page. So it was the best ever one hit wonder.
God, it didn't have to be indie or Britpop. I just put it out there. Just generally. I saw it on another. I saw it on Absolute Radio, actually. I thought, that's a good question. Let's put it out there.
Rather than that.
What we should have done was just sort of had just a look at the answers on that and not put it out to our people. That would have saved us a bit of time. But, yeah. All right, what have we got then?
So, we've got Mrs. Robinson by the Lemonheads.
Yeah. It's all right, isn't it? It's not really their song, though, is it?
No.
So, no. Like,
bit of a cover.
Yeah, so not quite quite the same.
Cardio could go out, put Bohemian Like You. Is that the Dandy Warhol?
Dandy Warhols. Yeah. Do you know what? He's right, actually. You know, it's not the best ever, but it's a good track. And they've done nothing massive since.
No.
So
then Andrea put The New Radicals, You Get What You Give. That was everywhere when that came out, wasn't it? That tune. It
got on my nerves.
Yeah.
It just got on my nerves, especially the geezer, the singer wearing a Kangol bucket hat, wasn't he, in the video?
I think so, yeah.
It was massive. I got it. I get why it was big. I do get it quite
huge.
A bit.
It was a huge song. It was played absolutely everywhere, wasn't it?
They would have made loads of money from that as well, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
But it just got my nerves. I think you're just overplayed.
Oh, this is a good one. Katie's put Spaceman by Babylon Zoo.
I was talking to our mate Leroy. I've been talking to him all week, weirdly. And I grew up with him. I went to primary school, secondary school with him. And he brought this up. He said, oh, for some reason, because he lives away. He lives in Dubai. So I have to talk to him via text and stuff. And it was like, for some reason, I've been really nostalgic this week. And I just keep feeling like I'm back at school in the 90s. And he said Babylon Zoo. He keeps listening to that over and over again because Babylon Zoo was like, that was a great track. Disappointing though, wasn't it? Because everyone bought it on the basis of that Levi's advert with like the robot sound, wasn't it? And then suddenly, so the first 30 seconds are like that, and then suddenly it turns into some bit of a drone, doesn't it? But it's good though.
Yeah, it's a really good song. It still sounds good now when you listen to it, I think.
Swedish, aren't they? Babylon Zoo?
Oh, no idea.
That's completely... Like, I've just said that off the top of my head. I'm going to have a look now just to see. They're probably like Argentinian or something. no English, from Wolverhampton.
Oh, well, there you go.
Don't know where Swedish came from. But yeah, I thought it was a good song. Yeah. Anything else?
My Sharona by the Knack.
Yeah, My Sharona. That was a great track. It always reminds me of 80s films. It's always on a 80s films soundtrack. Didn't Billy Idol do something with it as well? But I suppose that's just a cover, isn't it, really? Good track.
The one that springs to my mind straight away is bloody Teenage Dirtbag Wheatus, because that was another one that was overplayed. That was a one-hit wonder off it, and that was overplayed.
Well, they covered A Little Respect, didn't they? Which was got quite big. Yeah, but it, again, not their song, so...
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Because you just have this one... These bands, that I mean, they've got it made, really, because they don't have to work very hard. They've written one song and they can just live off of that.
No. So when you got a Christmas song.
It was on the back of the film Loser, wasn't it? Was that, you know, is that teen movie era?
I think so, yeah.
Like American Pie, Scream, all that sort of stuff, which was quite good, really. I like that era. So when you come on the back of a film like that, it helps, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Someone's put Chumbawamba top thumping.
Oh, God, yeah. Bloody hell. What were they? Didn't they do something in the Brit Awards once? They're from like Leeds or Bradford or somewhere, aren't they?
I thought they were Scottish. Let me look.
No, I think they're not. I think they're from Yorkshire. They reformed last year, I think. But they're more of a political.
They're English. Hang on.
Rebellious, like, gang, if you like.
Yeah, anarcho-communist political.
Yeah.
How they describe themselves.
Didn't they? I think they chucked something at, didn't they cover John Prescott in like some sort of water or something like that at a Brit Awards? It was something like that. It was
possibly they're from Burnley.
Burnley, I knew it was up that sort of general direction. Yeah, that song was big, wasn't it? Can you remember the FIFA song, FIFA that was on?
Yeah.
99, wasn't it? 98, 99?
Yeah, I don't think it was 98. It probably 99.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just one of them ones. Very overplayed.
Do you remember that song? It's not like this genre at all. It went da 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 da. How bizarre.
Yeah, OMC. How bizarre. Yeah. That would be, I love that tune because you actually had at the same time, we was year seven, I think then, right? You had OMD with Walking on the Milky Way out at the same time as OMC. And I thought, is this some sort of like collective that just released things? I didn't know who OMD were. So So I thought, yeah, this is a bit weird. Very different, obviously. That was a good tune, that one, actually. I really like that one. But yeah, that's a one-hit wonder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good. Chesney Hawks. That was a big one in the 90s.
The best, if I reckon one of the best ones of all time has probably got to be Come On Eileen.
Is that, I don't even know that as a Midnight Runners and all that, but I didn't know that was a one-hit wonder. I know nothing about them. I didn't know if they had any other songs.
I couldn't tell you another one of their songs, so we might as well say it's a one-hit wonder.
YMCA, they had a couple of other tracks, didn't they?
Yeah.
What are they called, the YMCA people?
Village People.
Village People, that was it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm acting like I'm one of their biggest fans, so...
yeah. Brand Van 3000.
Oh, that was a tune. Fucking hell, I Drinking love that.
Yeah.
Do you remember when... the Twang covered that for that Radio 1 covers album? It wasn't the Live Lounge. It wasn't Live Lounge, I don't think. It was for the 40th anniversary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember then. Didn't the Foo Fighters do Band on the Run on that one?
Yeah. And Franz Ferdinand, Crazy for You by Madonna. It was a really good covers album, that one. But you can't find it anywhere. Like in terms of, you can't find that on Spotify or anything like that.
No.
So you have to, if you want it, I've got it somewhere, but that was brilliant.
Yeah, I've got that CD somewhere.
Yeah, Kasabian did a specials cover. All that's really good. That Brand Van 3000, yeah, Drinking in LA and all that. It's just, yeah. That was a funny old time.
Make some sort of Spotify playlist for these.
One hit is one. I bet there'll be one. I'm going to look one up now. For the purpose of this conversation, I'm going to look one up now. But the that time when Brand Van 3000 came out and all that, Drinking in LA, that was a bit of a crap time because Britpop had just finished and there was no direction.
Yeah.
There was no direction in music, and I just didn't like it. Do you know what could be? So you had to pick songs out, and that's when I got into the Stereophonics, actually, because they were a constant in that time, and they got big just after Britpop, didn't they? I've lost my train of thought. What was I going to say? I cannot remember what I was going to say now. Oh, no. What I was going to say was that... what could be considered a one-hit wonder, and it probably won't to us and some of our listeners, but Blue Tones, Slight Return. Mm. Do you remember out of nowhere that got to number one?
Yeah.
And you ask the average person, they couldn't name another song by then.
No, I don't think I could, to be honest. Not off the top of my head.
I don't know much about them, to be honest, but they weren't massive. Just thought of the Bluebells as well. Do you remember? What are Bluebells there? Scottish Beth.
Corner Shop's another one.
I've seen them live. they supported Oasis at Finsbury Park, yeah.
Did they do more than one song?
Yeah, I was fucking very drunk, to be honest. So I can't remember them. Black Rebel Motorcycle Club were on that day as well, but that was when I first ever heard them. They were really good, yeah.
Someone's put Reef, Place Your Hands.
They've done quite a few songs, didn't they? I fucking hate them, but they've done quite a few songs, didn't they? But I know what you mean. That's the big one, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose if you go along the lines of just the one hit that they've had, I couldn't really tell you.
I mean, all these bands probably have other songs, didn't they? Because they probably released an album off the back of it. But
yeah, they're all successful bands, I guess.
But they make a killing. Selling tickets for that one song.
It's like that jet song that's played in every indie club over the land, and it. You gonna be my girl? And then,
with the thing with Jet, Jet was bloody brilliant, right? A really good band, right? And that first album, I had it. But they split up, and I can't remember why. It was someone was ill. It was really bad circumstances. Mm. It was there was an issue, and that's why they split up. So that's kind of why they didn't get bigger, because I think they would have gone on to be massive.
They were Australian, weren't they? I think
Australian band. Yeah, I can't remember what it was. But there was a sudden split. I've got to find out now.
The Bravery, Honest Mistake was mentioned.
I always get them confused with editors. Oh, Jetta actually did get back together. They dissolved in 2012. Yeah. Don't know. I'm pretty sure there was something. Always I'm thinking of the Vines. The Vines are Australian as well. Yeah, the honest mistake, that was a 2006 to 2009 movement song, wasn't it?
There's quite a few. I think if you on the outside, sort of looking in as well, you could maybe say the Subways as well. To us, they've got quite a few decent hits, but
yeah,
that one that was on the Sky Sports advert went huge.
Rock and Roll Queen, yeah, and it was on the soundtrack to Rock and Roller, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Stacey's Mum.
Yeah, she's got it going on.
Yeah, good song that one. That had Penny, what do you call it in the video, didn't it?
Lancaster. Penny
Bank, yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah,
Sixpence None the Richer, Kiss Me. I hated that song.
Oh, I liked that song.
Scatman John. Cotton Eye Joe, that's a big one. Save Tonight with Eagle Eye Cherry. They did do Falling in Love Again. That's Nina Cherry's brother, isn't it? If you remember him.
No.
It is. That is Eagle. Is it? Nina Cherry. Yeah, it's Nina Cherry's brother. Promise you. Just going to prove myself right here. Bear with me. Eagle Eyed Cherry. Bear with me. Siblings, Nina Cherry.
Okay.
From Sweden. Didn't actually know they were from Sweden, but Len, Steal My Sunshine. That was a good song, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Breakfast what was that Tiffany's? Noah and the Whales song?
5 Years Time.
Yeah.
My cat likes that song. Just a whistling bit. No, I don't know. Well, they were actually quite big, like folk.
Yeah, they were. Type, yeah.
But yeah, that's their biggest hit, isn't it?
And that Pumped Up Kicks as well. That was quite a big song.
Just boring, though, isn't it?
Whoever sung that, I can't remember who sung it.
Foster the People. Yeah, it's just fucking boring. Cats in the Cradle, Ugly Kid Joe. I'm sure there was another one by them. No,
the Roller by BDI.
Yeah, good. I really feel for Liam with that because they are a good, it was a good project, but just the wrong time.
Yeah, it's just wrong time completely.
Really good wrong time, yeah. There was a song called The Reason by Hoobastank. Do you remember them?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah.
It was a, yeah. You're Gorgeous, Baby Bird.
Gosh, I hated that song.
Johnny's a fan.
Reminds me of walking to school in like 1998 or something.
Yeah. Top note, there's loads. You can be here all day talking about this. There's an awful lot of one-hit wonders. Yeah. 74, 75, the Connells. That was a tune, wasn't it?
That song.
That was a tune. And I don't know what happened to them.
About Edwin Collins. Was it Girl Like You or whatever it
is. Yeah, yeah, but he had a stroke.
Did he?
He had a stroke at, yeah, really young age. Just to prove my point, Slight Return is on this list of Spotify list. Yeah, he had a stroke. He's still going, but that pretty much, yeah. Hang on here, bloody hell. This is why people annoy me. Just under Slight Return, the only one I know by the Charlatans.
That one hit wonder.
Oh, fucking wankers. Of course, the best one of all is Would I Lie to You by Charles and Eddie.
Yes, that is it. I think we should end on that one. Yeah. You're not going to beat it.
No. Right. And we're going to run out of time, actually. We're just going on and on today. We'll do the next question next week. Quick chat about Arsenal. What we saying? It's been a long time since we've played.
It's been a long time. All positive at the moment. It's positive.
I don't like that, though, do you?
No, I don't. I'm really, really nervous. We've got so many games in hand.
Yeah.
We can go, like, I think 5 points clear of United if we win these games in hand. And United are away to City
today,
as we're recording today.
Yeah. We've got
so Watford. If we can somehow beat Watford and hopefully Man City win, that'd be excellent. I know we've got big teams to play still, but I want to get the points on the board before we...
We have a chance of finishing third. I'm just thinking with Chelsea's off-field struggles, right, with what's going on there, they may be a bit...
Yeah, well, if we win both our games in hand, we go a point behind Chelsea. But I think they're probably... I don't know if we'll be able to catch them.
We're relying on them to have the wheels to fall off, aren't we? That's the problem.
Yeah, I think we probably got to beat them to finish above them, maybe.
Yeah, we still play them, don't we? We've got them to play.
Yeah, I think so. 14 games left we've got, and it's like 14 cup finals for us, which is sad.
Yeah, it is.
That's the way it is. With a young side, to finish fourth would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, I remember when we got Perry Manning on. How many episodes ago was he? About four, five?
Four or five, yeah.
Right. At that time, he was quite angry, wasn't he, about Arsenal? And, you know, because we'd blown it. I remember him saying it would have been nice to finish top four, but that's not going to happen now because we had the worst January ever.
Yeah.
It was just, and now, I mean, it's not, I mean, fair play. I mean, we've been incredible since Auba's left. We've been incredible. But I do think that like Tottenham being Tottenham helps, doesn't it? You know,
yeah, it does.
West Ham I felt sorry for him yesterday because if they had an out-and-out striker, they'd have won that game yesterday. But obviously...
They were miles ahead of us, West Ham. Now we're level points with them and we've got four games in hand on them. We could be 12 points clear of them.
They just don't know how to do it. They're not experienced in these dizzy heights for them.
Wolves made up some rivalry of us that doesn't exist, and that backfired on them.
It didn't work very well because they lost both games in controversial form, so controversial fashion. So it's a funny season. My biggest worry is that we've got 14 games left. We've got a thin squad.
Yeah.
And it's good that we're out of everything, but international breaks and stuff could scupper us if someone goes and gets injured. Thankfully, Lacazette's not good enough to play for France, so he won't be going anywhere. But Nketiah has done all right. To be fair, he doesn't score goals, but he's done all right, hasn't he?
He's done very well when he came on the other day.
Yeah, who was against Wolves?
Yeah.
That's mental. That seemed so long ago. It was 10 days ago.
Yeah,
we played a game every three days last season.
I know.
So
Watford away today, then Leicester at home next Sunday, then Liverpool at home on Wednesday.
Yeah, that'd be a...
Real, really tough games.
We're going to lose one of these games. We're going to have to accept that, I think. Got United in the 23rd of April. I want to go to that. I've got a feeling that's going to be a bit of a decider, that one as well. Mm. By that time, I think they could have caught us up a bit, and it could be very close by that point.
You need to be getting draws with these sides. You just don't want to be losing against them, do you?
They can't gain any ground on us in terms of Liverpool will take the hit because there's a very good chance they might end up winning this league now. I just thought watching them yesterday, when games like that go your way, where just like literally they were let off the hook so much, you just think, oh God, is he going to be there in the background?
And I think, was it someone, Lanzini or someone was maybe through on goal?
He's fucking shit.
He chipped the goalkeeper and then it just was trickling over the line almost. And then
I just don't get him.
Alexander-Arnold cleared it. Yeah,
he's infuriating. On his day, he's amazing at Lanzini, but he has his day every now and again when he feels like it.
Mm.
That's my head in. He was there a couple of times. He was clean through. Just chipped keeper. And he made it easy for them to get back. It just had no weight to it. Pathetic. Antonio, he missed a couple of sitters. With Antonio, he's a good player, but they need better.
So, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, I think we're just about, that's about it for this week.
Yeah.
What we got seeing us out?
We have got Garden Party seeing us out.
Yeah.
And They are a band that were formed in Manchester 3 years ago. And you've got Liam on guitar and vocals. He's from Wigan. You've got Kieran on guitar from Darlington. Sam on drums from Leicester. And Josh on bass, and he's also from Wigan. This is called Rose Tinted, this song.
I was just going to say, if you're in Manchester, it's the rules, isn't it? You have to have a band.
Yeah, I think so.
And you have to be called Liam, or someone has to.
Yeah, you have to have a Liam involved.
Yeah.
And, brilliant. Yeah, I think their last single reached number one in the iTunes alternative chart, so they're doing quite well. So go and give the lads a listen, and you'll probably, hopefully.
It's another great song we've got this week. We're so lucky with the music we're getting sent through, and we've got some great tracks coming your way as well. Just to quickly sign off, actually, just to explain, we did put a post out on social media the other day. We're going to two weekly for a while. I know that's going to disappoint some of you. Some of you would be glad, probably. Our schedule for the next few months is going to be very, very busy because we're both getting married. We just put together a stag do. We've got other close friends getting married and all that sort of stuff. It's just a really busy time. So rather than just not do anything and just not put a podcast out there, we want to keep it going. But we think if we do it every couple of weeks, we've got more flexibility. So if we say we can't make one weekend, we can always record the weekend after or something like that. So we hope you understand, and thank you very much for your support. Here we go. Enjoy Garden Party. Take care. See you in 2 weeks.
The autumn breeze chills you to the bone. Boy, you're leaving your worries behind. You don't care anymore. At least that's what you said to me. But what's got into you lately? You've been stumbling on.